I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko
and Najagli Ago.
In the headlines, President Mahama to cut sort today for T3 Abwazi thermal plant. Vice President Emisa Afa in Turkey to participate in 16th Eurasian Economic Summit. Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations focuses on self-employment as means to reduce unemployment. Nigerian militant group claims responsibility for attack that left 12 police officers dead. And delegates meet in Doha to raise funds to rebuild Sudan's Darfur. But first to the summary with Najagble Ago.
Government has expressed its readiness to move the country away from the current energy crisis facing the nation. In view of this, President Mahama will today cut the sword for the T3 Abwazi thermal plant at Abwazi, as well as inspect the gas processing plant at Atuabo, all in the western region. The president made this known at a national prayer and thanksgiving service at the Black Star Square in Accra. Vice President Park Wesiu Misa Arthur has left Accra for Istanbul, Turkey, to participate in a 16th Eurasian Economic Summit. The meeting is to strengthen relations among European Union, Central Asian countries and the Middle East. This was contained in a statement issued in Accra. The Vice President is expected back home on Sunday, the 14th of this month. The Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations has resolved to pay more attention to self-employment as a means to reduce the unemployment rate. The Director General of Management, Development and Productivity Institute of the Ministry, Dr. Shaibu Garba, speaking on GTV's Current Affairs programme Talking Point last night, said it is the ministry's quest to focus on the informal sector since public sector employment cannot grow. And a two-day conference is underway in Doha to raise funds for a multi-billion dollar project to rebuild Sudan's Darfur region after a decade-long conflict. The conference, which was agreed under a July 2011 peace agreement signed in the Qatar capital, seeks support for a development strategy requiring $7.2 billion for a six-year effort to move Darfur away from food handouts and other emergency aids.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news now in detail. The country will move away from off-peak load shedding henceforth as government tries to normalize the situation by the end of this month. In line with this, President John Mahama will today cut the sword for the T3 Abwazi thermal plant in the western region and also inspect the gas processing plant at Atuabo, all aimed at mitigating the energy crisis that has hit the country. President John Mahama gave the hint when he addressed the National Prayer and Thanksgiving Service at the Black Star Square in Accra. In attendance were members of the Council of State, diplomatic corps, traditional leaders and senior service chiefs. Here's a report by Pascalina Dadevu.
After successful general elections and the many blessings that Ghana has received as a country, it is only proper internationals come together to thank God and pray for his guidance. The Black Star Square was filled with various church groups with a common purpose to thank God. President John Mahama implored every Ghanaian to pray for the nation as it goes through energy and water crisis, as well as series of industrial actions. As a man of strong faith, President Mahama stated that such challenges are meant to test the faith of Ghanaians, and citizens must remain steadfast and not despair.
I am particularly happy that we as a people have taken the bold step to recognize the place and importance of prayers, not only for individual nourishment, but also for national awakening and renewal. As we share this day in prayer, I wish to implore all of us to remember our nation in our supplication to the Almighty God.
Till the end of this month, where the load shedding exercise would have been done away with completely, every home will enjoy a substantial amount of light as off-peak load shedding has been scrapped. This piece of good news by the President attracted loud applause from the gathering.
I'm happy to announce that there will be no off-peak load shedding. Mark my words, let me explain. There will be no off-peak load shedding. Off-peak means when it is not the peak of use of electricity. That's often during the daytime. And at peak hours, load shedding will be limited to 80 megawatts only.
In a sermon, the General Overseer of the Christian Action Faith Ministry, Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams, said the country has come a long way and the peace that is being enjoyed should not be taken for granted. He stated that a nation has been plagued with jealousy, lies, pull him down and the winner takes all culture, and these are issues that need collective effort to deal with. Archbishop Duncan Williams also condemned tribal politics that seem to have crept into the political fiber of the country.
We need to tackle the issue of tribal sentiments, tensions, and division. And in looking at that, to urge everyone under the sound of my voice, Your Excellency the President and ladies and gentlemen, it is very, very dangerous if we ignore the tribal sentiment and divisions among us. If we look at the genocide in Rwanda in 1994, as a result of tribal tension and division, in 90 days, 800,000 men and women were slaughtered for no reason.
Intercessory prayers were said for the three arms of government, as well as the welfare, development, security and stability of the country.
Pascalina Dadevo.
The National Week of Prayers and Thanksgiving in the Eastern Region was climaxed at the Wesley Cathedral in Kufuja in the New Jabe Municipality. It brought residents far and near together to pray and sing praises to the Almighty God for his protection, guidance and love. In a sermon, the head pastor of Reigning Power Gospel Church, Reverend Samuel Saponkwakwa, asked Ghanaians to worship God wholeheartedly instead of going to church to seek particular favors. Reverend Kwakwa noted that chasing wealth has also become an order of the day, of which many Ghanaians use foul means to acquire wealth. The Eastern Regional Minister, Helen Ntoso, asked Ghanaians not to allow their political differences and diversity of thought to create division, dispute and hatred. They should rather exercise restraint and live in peace with one another to create an enabling environment.
Vice President Pakwisi Misa'afa last night left for Istanbul, Turkey, to participate in the 16th Eurasia Economic Summit, a summit organized annually with an objective of enhancing relations among European Union countries of Central Asia as well as the Middle East. This was contained in a statement issued in Accra. The statement says the Eurasian Economic Summit is a gathering of high-level statesmen, bureaucrats, captains of business and private sector representatives from the Eurasian region with an approximate population of 643 million and purchasing power of about $6.6 trillion. The region is also geopolitically and economically one of the most important regions of the world. This year's summit, which will be addressed by Vice President Emisa Arthur, who is also the guest of honor, will focus on energy, economy, telecommunication, healthcare, defense, and women's issues. He's expected back home next Sunday, the 14th of this month.
Still at the presidency, President Mahama has described the decision of doctors to go on strike as worrying and has directed concerned agencies to deal with their issues with all urgency. He promised to arrange a round table with organized labor in attendance to review the single spine salary structure with a view to bringing on board Article 71 office holders. These include MPs, ministers and their deputies, the president, vice and judges. The president was speaking in Accra at the National Prayer and Thanksgiving Service.
The announcement by our medical doctors is particularly worrisome because of the everlasting and irreversible effect such action can have on the lives of our people. Lives once lost cannot be replaced even after the issues of the strike are resolved. My understanding is that the matters affecting the doctors have been narrowed down, have directed the agencies involved in resolving these issues to treat them with the urgency they deserve. I received a proposal to organize a stakeholder roundtable in conjunction with organized labor to review our implementation of the single spine pay policy and have a dispassionate discussion of the way forward. This conference will also fast-track the Constitutional Review Commission's recommendation to bring Article 71 salaries on the same plane as the single spine salary structure. It is my hope that such a conference will bring all of us on the same wavelength in terms of remuneration and emolument and bring a lasting solution to the industrial unrest that we are facing.
That was President Mahama.
The Fair Wages and Salaries Commission says it will not be bullied by any labor union to implement policies that are not principled on the single spine pay policy. The head of public relations of the commission, El Ankra, described it as strike by the doctors as unfortunate, as the National Labor Commission has already ruled on the matter. He added that their actions are not justified and that granting the doctors' demand will grind the entire public service to a halt. He spoke to Bright in Trauma.
Well, it's rather unfortunate, but this is the issue. At Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, our mandate is to work on pay policy administration in this country. The moment a group goes on strike for any reason, it becomes a National Labour Commission issue and not a Fair Wages and Salaries Commission issue. We must recall that we invited all groups that benefit from the interim market premium arrangement to a table so we discussed the payment schedule. GMA opted out. In actual fact, they made that demand at Labour Commission. The Labour Commission granted them that they negotiate separately from the rest of the groups. So we went ahead and negotiated with the groups and came up with a schedule. And we met GMA differently and we presented the same schedule, which they rejected. We went back to the National Labour Commission to give our different schedule. So we presented our schedule and they presented their schedule as well to the Labour Commission. According to the ruling, they researched into it. That the National Labour Commission went into the matter, listened to both sides, researched into it and came up with a conclusion that indeed the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission's schedule is the one that must be adopted for GMA. They decided that after the National Labour Commission's ruling, they are going to call a strike. Then it's rather unfortunate. It then ends being a Fair Wages issue. It becomes a National Labour Commission issue because the laws that set up Fair Wages does not expect us to deal with strike actions in any way.
So for now, you are recusing yourself from the issue and you are turning it to National Labour Commission to settle it.
This of no choices of this is not the choice of Fair Wages Salaries Commission. It is the decision by the laws of this country that labor-related issues and indeed strike actions are handled by National Labour Commission. The law that set up Fair Wages Commission did not say in any way that whenever a group goes on strike, you grant them whatever they want, 100% at all costs. There's no point in the law that indicates that. So we have done our part. The rest is between them and Labour Commission, and indeed between them and the constitution of this country, which requires that if you are not satisfied with any ruling, remember the National Labour Commission has the powers of the court. So if you are not satisfied with the ruling, you can take your matter to a higher court and go embarking on a strike or taking the law into your own hands. It is frowned upon by our laws in this country the last time I checked.
Looking at the demands by the doctors, can't there be a win-win situation so that all these things can be averted?
Yeah, we seem to be in a rush, in a hurry to say, okay, to avoid the strike action by the doctors, let's give them what they want so that we have a peace. But mind you, if we grant that to them, the repercussions will be bigger than what we have at this country. The entire public service will come to a halt if we continue doing like that. Remember, GMA are not the only group that benefits from interim market premium. There are other groups, including Ghana Registered Nurses Association and more others. We met with them. They all accepted the payment schedule, and they are moving on. If we turn around and come and give doctors a different schedule from what we give to the rest of the groups, what's going to happen, what's going to be on our laps as a country? And they are all going to say, then they all want the same schedule. The law that established Fair Wages said we must operate in a fair, open, transparent, and strategic manner, systematic manner. And that is what we are doing, and that is all we will do.
On the intended strike by pharmacists, Mr. Ankra said their demands are of no merit. He added that the commission would treat all labor unions equally and in a transparent manner.
Pharmacists who sent us to the National Labor Commission asked us to make some adjustments at their entry-level grades. Fair Wages wasn't comfortable with it, but we implemented it anyway. They returned to the National Labor Commission again and asked for more adjustments on their salary grade. Fair Wages is of the opinion that if we implement that second demand from the pharmacists, it's going to shatter the entire health sector in this country, and it will blow over into the entire public service. So Fair Wages has said we are not going to implement that. And we're just not doing that with arms folded. We've taken it to the appeals court so that it is looked into. If the court decides that we should implement it, then when the repercussions come, it will not be on our hands. It will be in the hands of the court. As it stands right now, Fair Wages will not implement the pharmacist's decision. If they have issues, they should also take it to the court. And we believe we live in a constitutional democracy, and that's how things should operate. We would like to assure the public that they should not panic by this so-called season of strikes. If you look at it collectively, yes, it is a little alarming. But if you pick up the groups and issues one after the other, you find out that most of them are of no merit. They believe that because of how essential their services are, they can bully Fair Wages into granting them whatever they want 100%. I can tell you that not all doctors are in agreement with what the leadership of GMA is compelling them to do. Not all university teachers are in agreement with what the UTAC executives are asking them to do. Well, let's have a general conversation as a country and find out if, when it comes to doctors and university teachers, the rules must apply differently. At the moment, the rules as they lie down at Fair Wages is that treat everybody equally and in a transparent manner. And that's how we are going to do. No number of strikes will move Fair Wages into taking decisions that are not principled on the single spine pay policy.
El Ankra is the head of public relations at the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. President Mahamatu cut sought today for T3 Abuja Thermal Plant. Vice President Emisa Arthur in Turkey to participate in 16th Eurasian Economic Summit. Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations focuses on self-employment as means to reduce unemployment. Nigerian militant group claims responsibility for attack that left 12 police officers dead. And delegates meet in Doha to raise funds to rebuild Sudan's Darfur.
The Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations has resolved to make employment creation the number one agenda of the ministry. The ministry is therefore focusing on self-employment as a means to reduce the unemployment rate. The Director General of MDPI of the ministry, Dr. Shaibu Gariba, announced this on GTV's Current Affairs programme Talking Point. He said public sector employment cannot grow, hence the ministry's quest to focus attention on the informal sector. He said the ministry will support SMEs to grow in order to create more jobs. Dr. Gariba said governments will focus on the private sector in the development agenda and SMEs will play a key role. He added that there are support systems by the ministry to help SMEs and asked them to take advantage of it. He advised that businesses should form networks and share information.
The interesting thing about SMEs is that because they are small, flexible, they are able to mobilize funds, idle funds in the system that otherwise would not be used for anything, and invest them. So this is a service they are playing. And in fact, one of the interesting things is that the government is focused on involving the private sector in our development plans. And SMEs is going to be one of the areas that government can participate with the private sector. If you are into business, networking is very important. Being part of the broader or the bigger body is important. If you are not a member of AGI or you are not a member of GEA, you may not have access to some critical information that others will.
The executive director of the Association of Ghana Industries, Seth Chumakwabwa, asked businesses to be proactive to survive the competitive business environment.
Indeed, those who take advantage of it, those who are proactive, are the ones who always get the opportunity. If you hear such information and you sit down and you don't ask, you don't participate in such meetings, definitely the opportunities will not come to you. So we always urge our enterprises that the best way to survive in the competitive environment is to be proactive, looking for information. We are in the information age. You can go to the websites of AGI, you can go to the websites of all these other business associations that we mentioned here, ILO itself, the coordinating office in Ghana. There's so much information out there. And where you have doubts, ask. Our office and doors are always open to enterprises. So really, we don't pick and choose. We spread the information. And those who are active and proactive and take advantage of opportunities of this nature, they are the ones who benefit.
The National Projects Manager at the ILO for the SCORE Projects, Kwamina Muisiando, spoke about a program by ILO to support SMEs. He said the major objective of the SCORE program is to create employment for the citizens.
SCORE simply means Sustaining Competitive and Responsible Enterprise. And it's a program developed by ILO within the last 15 years. Interestingly, it started in Ghana as WISE program, Work Improvement in Small Enterprises. And I can mention some few companies that were started with Gomod, Pachinko, and other companies, about 10 of them. ILO started the experimental with them. The whole idea is that ILO is into the world of work and helps member nations of the UN, who are also members of the ILO, to develop employment for their people, because, you know, employment is key. And especially these days, youth employment has become a major issue in the world of work. So ILO always finds a means to assist countries to develop employment for its citizens. So they started with the WISE, experimented it in Ghana, it was successful in other countries. Then they upgraded it into FIP, Factory Improvement Program, in India and China and Bangladesh, and it was also very successful. So they put all the knowledge together and brought it to a higher level called SCORE, Sustaining Competitive and Responsible Enterprise.
You heard the National Projects Manager of the SCORE Projects, Kwamina Amuisiando.
Workers have been urged to plan towards their retirement. This will enable them to put everything in place before settling home. The advice was given by the outgoing president of the South Ghana Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Pastor Anthony Kessie, at the send-off service organized in his honor at the Laboni SDA Church in Accra. We'll bring you more.
The send-off service was attended by almost all the conferences constituting the Ghana Union Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Also among the congregation were family members, relatives, and friends of Pastor Anthony Kessie. Pastor Kessie is retiring from active pastoral work after nearly 30 years of dedicated service. He served in various capacities in the church, including being president of the South Ghana Conference of the SDA for 2 terms. Pastor Kessie also served as a member of the board of ADRA Ghana and the Advent Press. He was also an executive member of the Ghana Union Conference of the Church. He urged workers not to see retirement as punishment, but a period for rest. He said with good planning, retirement could be very enjoyable. The outgoing president charged the youth, especially Christians, to contribute their quota towards national development, since they would one day take up the mantle of leadership. He thanked members of the church for the cooperation during his stewardship, saying he sees a brighter future for the church and country. The chairman of the Finance and Audit Committees of the South Ghana Conference, Elder S.P. Labi, who chaired the function, said a lot of events occur from the day one is given the appointment letter and day of retirement, so workers must be thankful when they successfully complete their tenure of work. He commended Pastor Kessie for his dedication to duty, which contributed to bringing the South Ghana Conference this far.
That was a news desk report.
5 suspected illegal Chinese miners of Ultimate Mining Company have been arrested at their mining site around Sankobina Senior in Yunim in the eastern region. According to the Yunim District Police Commander, Superintendent Jeff Darko, the police acted upon a tip-off last Friday. He said the Chinese miners were about 14 in number. However, 9 of them were able to escape to an unknown destinations during the operation. We bring you the details.
The operation by the police became necessary after the Eastern Regional Minister Helen Ntosu visited the site earlier this month. During the tour, it was revealed that the Chinese have been at the site since February this year. They have a well-established camp with about 6 rooms, fully air-conditioned, used as sleeping places, kitchen and storeroom. The Chinese also pollute the river, which serves as a source of drinking water for the people, with other activities. The extent of damage to the land, according to the minister, is an eyesore, adding that the open pits pose a danger to the indigenous, especially children. Superintendent Daku said members of his team, after the minister's visit, were given a tip-off, which they acted on and managed to seize 3 excavators and 1 payloader, a motorbike, 3 generators, air cleaners and filters. The Eastern Regional Crime Officer, Superintendent Edward Konyel, who was part of the team, said documents from the Managing Director of Ultimate Mining Company, Pastor Joseph Ofori, in which the Chinese worked, showed the Chinese are legal residents in the country awaiting working permits from the Immigration Service. Pastor Joseph Ofori maintained that the Chinese are not miners, but rather technical men who were there to man equipment to be used for mining operations. He said though their mining permit had expired, the company was in the process of renewing their permit. Meanwhile, the Eastern Regional Minister, Helen Ntosu, has called for proper investigation into the case to ensure culprits are brought to book. She emphasized the need for a stakeholders meeting to deliberate on illegal mining activities in the country, especially in the region, to find proper solution to the menace.
That was a Newsdex report.
In foreign news, hundreds of delegates are meeting in Doha for a donor conference to raise support for a multi-billion dollar project to rebuild Sudan's Darfur region after a decade-long conflict. The two-day conference was agreed under a July 2011 peace deal that Khartoum signed in the Qatari capital with an alliance of rebel splinter groups. It seeks to support for a development strategy requiring $7.2 billion for a six-year effort to move Darfur away from food handouts and other emergency aid, laying the foundation for lasting development through improved water facilities, roads and other infrastructure.
Nigerian militants claiming to be from a group that has been inactive since 2009 say they carried out an attack that left 12 police officers dead. An email purportedly from the movement for the Emancipation of the Niger Delta, MEND, said it was responsible for the ambush in southern Nigeria on Friday. Last week, another email said MEND would resume attacks after its leader, Henry Oka, was jailed in South Africa. Police denied Friday's attack had anything to do with the threat. They said it involved a dispute over amnesty payments. Thousands of former militants are supposed to be receiving a monthly salary as part of the amnesty agreement. However, while some former commanders have grown extremely rich out of the deal, some of the junior militants have not received what they are owed.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has warned Iran that talks on its nuclear program cannot last forever after a new round failed to make progress. Mr. Kerry, at the start of a trip to the Middle East, Europe and Asia, said this is not an interminable process. In Istanbul, Mr. Kerry called on Turkey and Israel to restore full diplomatic relations. Later, he discussed reviving the Middle East peace process with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas in Ramallah. Details of the meeting in the West Bank were not released. Mr. Kerry is due to meet Palestinian Prime Minister Salam Fayyad and Israeli Prime Minister Shimon Peres today. He will meet Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu tomorrow. Football. Ghana's sole representative in this year's CAF Champions League, Kumasi Asante Kotoko, have been eliminated from the competition after a 1-1 draw with their Algerian counterparts GSM Bejaia yesterday at the Babayara Sports Stadium. Kotoko settled so well in the early minutes of the game, threatening the goal area of the Algerians, but failed to convert the chances created. In the 11th minute, GSM Bejaia took control of the game with lots of possession and good interpositional play against the home side. Striker Kofi Ntibuachi in the 30th minute failed to put the Porcupine Warriors in front after his header went off the opponent's goalpost. Striker Michael Ekufu's 25-yarder, expertly taken free kick, eluded the Algerian goalkeeper at the stroke of halftime, earning Kotoko their only goal of the game. After dictating the pace of the game in the second half, Seydou Bansi should have doubled the lead for Kotoko when he rounded two of his markers, but shot the ball straight into the arms of the Bejaia goalkeeper in the 50th minute. Defender Bobby Ansah's cross was parried away by the Algerian goalkeeper to deny Kotoko a double. A poor defensive setup in the 77th minute saw Darek Mohammed equalize for GSM Bejaia after he slotted the ball beyond goalkeeper Sulama Abdullahi to end Kotoko's dream of progressing to the next stage of the competition. Meanwhile, here are results of the FA Cup Round 16 matches played yesterday. Hearts of Oak 2, Stark SC 0. Tema Youth lost 4-2-4 on penalties to Ebiana Stars. Brekum Chelsea also lost 1-3 on penalties to Medeama SC. Gold Stars 3, Ash Gold 1, and Heart of Lions 2, Tudu Mighty Jets 0.
To end the news, the main points again. President John Mahama will today inaugurate the T3 Abuazi thermal plant in the Western Region and also inspect work on the gas processing plant at Atuapu. This forms part of efforts to mitigate the energy crisis that the country is experiencing. President John Dramani Mahama dropped the hint when he addressed the National Prayer and Thanksgiving Service at the Black Star Square in Accra. Vice President Park Wisi Misa Arthur has left Accra for Istanbul, Turkey, to participate in the 16th Eurasian Economic Summit. The statement issued in Accra said the summit is organized annually with an objective of enhancing relations among the European Union, countries of Central Asia, as well as the Middle East. And hundreds of delegates are meeting in Doha for a donor conference to raise support for a multi-billion dollar project to rebuild Sudan's Darfur region after a decade-long conflict. The two-day conference was agreed under a July 2011 peace deal. The news was presented by Naja Gliago
and Abraham Donko in Accra.